Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Chris. Good afternoon, Chris.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Or rather, good evening, perhaps, in the dark in the sky here, and I'm sure it's dark there.
It's very dark here, indeed. So, yeah, that was a very zen good news update.
It was an incredibly zen good news update. I don't know how more zen you could get than 10 minutes of silence.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So as we always say, it's good that we're all in the meditation club, and when those kinds of things happen, we just automatically default to our meditation experience and live happily ever after. I typically remind myself that I like my doses of silence in 30-minute segments. Makes it easy.
That's perfect. It's kind of like, when in doubt, meditate.
Yeah.
Great. I have some announcements here.
All right, perfect.
Celebrate courage, generosity, and family as part of the Africa Project by signing up for one of our fabulous fundraising teams this year. Our goal is to raise the $100,000 needed annually to support the work of this wonderful project. And so great to see the live broadcast last weekend, wasn't it, Chris?
Oh, my. Yeah, it was really special. I must admit, that was grand. Every bit of it.
Yeah.
You know, the bridge walk was absolutely sensational,
yes.
I thought. And
yes.
Even though I didn't quite get what's going on, after
yes.
it was explained, they went, oh, that was it, and it was fabulous. and then just to see all the faces and the places, all the smiles, and, that kind of joy reverberating from our part of the country to their part of the world. So, really, really sweet.
Yes, absolutely. And coming up, Reflective Listening Buddies offers weekly support for conscious compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present. A new quarter begins January 15th. And just before that, in January, we'll have compassionate scheduling with the mentor group coaching, which will look at creating a schedule based in kindness that allows us to take good care of ourselves as we live our daily lives. This coaching session begins January 8th.
Yeah, sounds like a really great opportunity to explore that whole notion of a compassionate schedule.
Yes.
It's,
yes.
Keeping a schedule is a huge challenge, and so I know I experienced that myself, especially as we practice outside the monastery. So any kind of support that we can get in terms of scheduling the things in our lives that are most important to us and then following through seems really helpful.
Yes, I was just thinking that out in the world, it doesn't seem like those two words go together. Compassionate and scheduling.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it's nice
just
to
scheduling,
bring them
just
together.
Plain scheduling, yeah, right.
Yes. And the 2019 schedule preview is now posted, so check it out and mark your calendars for the kickoff on January 19th.
Very good. A new year is almost upon us.
Yes, it is. Getting quite close.
Yeah.
And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Chris today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic, please, that lasts about 5 minutes is great. Okay, you ready, Chris?
I am ready. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, you're welcome. Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
My name is Jennifer from Virginia.
Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
Very good. You?
I'm good. I am seeing two different things. So I was just thinking about what I wanted to discuss. But I guess the thing that's most been weighing on me, I was just recently in a workshop where I was physically injured, and I had to have surgery, and it was pretty intense. Luckily, I'm happy to say that I'm on the men's side, and I am getting my strength back. But during the workshop, I was able to see a lot of things, like a lot of gratitude for healing and having the things that I had. And I took obviously time away from my everyday life and work and to rest and really support myself. And I had a great support system around me. And it was a really good, I just feel like I was able to see a lot. I was really aware. I think the physical pain of my body also brought me into present moment. So I was really grateful for the experience. And now as I'm stepping back into my, so to speak, daily life, you know, going back to work and back to my commitment with relationships, I feel like I'm slowly getting back into the rigmarole of the daily, you know, things. And I'm afraid that I don't want to get back into a conditioned mind. And I had this great workshop with this awareness, and now I'm transitioning back, and it's another cycle, and I'm feeling in a place of I don't want to move forward. I guess it's like, it feels like a duality. I either do my daily life or I support myself in the way that I just did. And I know that that's just conditioning, but there's something there I'm not seeing right now.
Okay, great. Yeah. Yeah. And in the way you described it, Jennifer, it really seems like the workshop with the physical challenges and the surgery and the healing process, that you did a really good job of setting that up as a workshop, the way you described it, right? You brought in supports. You, moved the attention to the process of gratitude as you were going on. You could see those things that were being of assistance to you. And and then, too, like you said, with the physical pain, there is an element of that which kind of demands the attention, right? This whole process kind of demands
absolutely
the attention. Absolutely, yeah. And so we can kind of get used to that because, as you were describing your experience, that it does bring a lot of attention to what's going on, right? Because we're there and life is just happening. Right, life's kind of happening around us and to us, for us, right? And we see a lot in that. And now in this transition, I'm projecting that you're seeing that same level of attention is not going to be a given as you move into this next phase, like it was then, because there's the pain. This is all new. This is happening. It's like this, and so now it's more like, well, the daily routine is back, and not wanting to slip back into the same old patterns beforehand. You've kind of seen what it's like to really stay on the cutting edge of an awareness practice, and you can see the advantages, and so not wanting to slide on back.
Definitely.
That's
exactly it. I mean, and I think not wanting to slide back, and then I made a comment that was kind of made me laugh. I was like, I don't want to go through this workshop again. Like, I feel like I learned a lot, you know, and I know that there'll be more to come, but just kind of, you know, in a humorous way, like, I don't want to have to force myself to be injured or, you know, in a place where I have
to
take a step back from my life in order to be in a place of awareness and gratitude and acceptance.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, Sherry's latest blog talks about practicing in those moments when we're not, when conditioning's not demanding that we practice or life circumstances aren't demanding that we practice, and that, in the same way that you set up this workshop, that you can do that same thing for almost any aspect of your daily life at this point. Kind of treat it in that same way. Do you have a sense of how you might do that?
I don't know, because I feel like in this workshop, I had a lot of time to be present and sit in the physical experience. And then I feel like when I get back into the daily, like I lose time, even when I, you know, set alarms, you know, for the yearly workshop to listen to the show, or, you know, do certain things, where I try and take breaks or take walks, I still feel like there's so much time in my day that gets lost.
So much time given over to conditioning, right? Even despite all the alarms and the buzzers and the awareness reminders going on, there still is that sense that's kind of escaping in that way. Yeah.
And it feels like if I continue on that path, I can see where, you know, it will be, it just feels very easy to slide back into, you know, a couple hours, I forget to do an awareness practice, then that becomes a couple days, and then it's a couple weeks, you know, and then I feel like, oh my gosh, where has the time gone? Which I feel like was a lot of what I felt like I was doing before I had the injury.
Yeah. And so, Jennifer, in and amongst all of that, what would you say, if that happens, what would you say you'd be losing?
The present, I guess.
Presence. Yeah, for sure. And then with that, losing really being in life in that really full way that you would like to be.
Yes.
Exactly, right? Yeah. You know, because the way we describe it is that you'll come to a practice like this once you've suffered enough. And until that point, there can be this tendency to just let it go until we reach that point where we've suffered enough. Till we really get it, and that's why I asked that question, till we really get it, what we're losing in that, right? That our lives get given over to conditioned mind, and essentially we don't have a life in that place. And when we really catch on to that, then that tends to turn the burners up on the practices.
Yeah, it's interesting, because when I was explaining this before, it was like I heard myself saying that I wasn't I was taken aback from my life with my injury, and now I'm going back into my life. And exactly what you just said is that being aware, that is life, you know, but I'm so conditioned to think that the daily everything is life. You know, and I was taking a break from life to focus on the present, and it's so mind-blowing to think that it's completely backwards from what I am conditioned to think.
Yeah, boy, that is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And so you were closer to life when you were in this workshop than you are in your daily life, right? And what you're saying you're seeing is that you're being talked to about what practice is, where it's supposed to happen, right? A lot of belief systems about what that's supposed to look like, and you've really uncovered that fact that in daily life, in quotes, right, that's not where spiritual practice happens. It happens in these other kind of special locations, and now you've just turned that upside down.
Yes, but I... I saw that, but I guess there's still a feeling of, I don't know, not embracing that, maybe, I guess, or.
Yeah, a feeling of not embracing that.
Mm.
Yeah. And so does it seem like in that there is that you should feel differently somehow?
Yeah, and that things should look differently.
and that things should look differently. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so essentially we're looking to conditioned mind for, like, so in order for daily life to be part of spiritual practice, it needs to be exciting in some way, or it needs to be engaging in some way. And it's not in that same way as it was in this workshop. And so, yeah. And so what if that became the workshop? Looking at the meanings that get attached to feelings, right? That could be a piece of it. And some of all those belief systems that make, when we talk about daily life, you know, that label, what's conditioning really referring to that? Is that just automatically a black box in terms of practice, that kind of thing? Don't know.
Yeah, that definitely makes me, it's like energizing to think of looking at the daily life activities as a workshop, you know, and to see that instead of, I think it was easy for me to look at the injury as a workshop because I was like, there's no solution to this, you know, like I can't go up into my mind and noodle through healing, you know, I just have to be there. So to look at the daily experiences in the same way, like there's no solution. There's no perfect way. It's just.
Exactly.
Yep. Look into it. Look into the feelings and the expectations of the way it should look and feel.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. All of the things that conditioning is telling you that are in the way of practice during kind of the daily routine, then yeah, all of that can get revealed, and give a great assistance to us in terms of just staying present more continuously.
That sounds great. Like I said,
that sounds
energizes me rather than exhausting of like looking at so much to do, and now I have to do a practice on top of that, you know, which can be like sometimes exhausting. But when you look at it that way, as it, you know, looking into it, just like there's no, I think I need to focus on that there's no solution. Just looking into it. And that give me the energy to move forward. So
no solution, and just staying in the mystery, right?
Right.
Waiting for conditioning to kind of reveal itself, how it's keeping you from the joy that's just inherent in every moment, regardless of circumstances. Yeah, perfect.
Right. Great. Well, thank you
so
much. It was wonderful talking to you.
All right. Great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us, Jennifer. Chris, that was fascinating on many levels. And one thing that dropped in was when you two were talking about daily life, and what dropped in is, from conditioning's perspective, daily life is code for let's go to sleep because we're just going to do the same thing day after day, whether it's work or school or my routine. And you know, it's trying to put me to sleep, basically.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing here to be seen, basically. It's just,
just
going to go through the motions again. And we've done it before. We've been here a million times. And we know the result. We know almost everything there is to know about it. And there's no joy in this. There's no, right? It's just the daily routine, like you say. Beneath that label, there's a whole story, conditioned story that's being maintained.
Yes, and as you reflected that, I heard a lot of I know, we know. And so there's another code for conditioned mind in action.
And you know, the other part of that, Michael, is it's pretty it's intelligent on conditioning's part, because it keeps us from training in those places. You know, like if you were an athlete, then there would be a lot of training moments that are outside of competitions.
Yeah.
Right? You'd just be training all the time every day, and everything that you're doing is contributing towards whatever athletic event you're doing, right? You're eating, you're sleeping, all of it is heading in that direction, so that when you do get to that place where you're going to do this event, then you have all of these skills, And so having us fall asleep in the daily routine just takes all of that training opportunity away from us. And
yes,
you know, and then yeah, it just makes it much harder when the conditioning amps up the suffering to you know, makes it easier for conditioning to come in and punish for having kind of foregone those things. Yeah.
All right, let's talk with another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Chris. Hi, Michael. This is Andrew from North Carolina.
Hello, Andrew.
Hey, Andrew.
I was been really looking at judgmentalism a lot lately.
Okay.
Well, and by lately, like the last half a decade, but especially recently, it just is you know, a perennial issue for me. And sometimes
it's
I get a little frustrated.
It's been around a while.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously it's been around for a lot longer than that, but that's just how long I've been looking at it.
You've been noticing it, yeah.
Yeah, I get a little frustrated with myself sometimes. It's also hard to know, like, am I just holding a strong opinion and expressing it, or I think there's a lot of fear of going too far with past assertive into, you know, hurting people's feelings and stuff. So it's another wrinkle there.
So noticing judgment, right? Noticing that judgment is around a lot, essentially, Andrew, that you notice it in a lot of different locations throughout the course of your day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's two in particular, like with my kids and then with some peers, a peer group.
Okay. And with your kids, what would the judgments be, just as a for instance?
With them, a lot of times it's like a fear-based, I feel a lot of the flavor of fear with it. But what it would sound like directly is, you know, you don't know how to do this. You know, why are you arguing with the kid? Lots of do what you're told. Yeah, it gets into, it starts branching off.
And starts and goes from there. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's helpful. And so these are essentially you statements. They're directed towards you.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're doing as a parent, right? That kind of stuff. And
that's an interesting. I hadn't looked at that. The way I've always heard it, and it'd be interesting to go back and you know try to look at that too. But the way I've always heard it is. You as in you, the other person who's doing something wrong, the other.
Okay, I got it. Okay, so tell me again, what is that with your kids? It's you.
You don't know. You're
you don't know?
Yeah, mostly you don't know. A lot of times we'll argue. And then this is interesting. I hadn't really paid a lot of attention to this. I've been realizing the last few weeks that when my kids argue with me and say, you know, how they see things and they think, you know, they're able to do something that I don't think maybe they're able to do, that's a common one. A lot of times I see myself in what they're saying. I really see how their speech back to me really mirrors ways that I've talked to them and done a lot of sort of no nonsense, hard nose, not going to take excuses kind of stuff. And they just mirror that right back, which makes a lot of sense. It's like, oh, wow, I really see how I have a part in this.
Exactly, that they've learned their lessons well or something. You know, the way we talk about children is they're like little sponges, right? Mm-hmm. And they're not learning what we say. They're learning who we are.
Yeah.
In that way. Yeah, yeah. And so then what you hear in, like with your kids, is you don't know, basically,
mm-hmm.
right? And then there's that judgment. And where does it go from there?
A lot of controlling behavior, like trying to basically shout down like their viewpoint, their argument, because it seems a lot of times in the moment it seems like they're just arguing, they're just being really argumentative and willful. But then later I start to see, you know, also a lot of fear that they're going to grow up terrible.
And is that something, again, and then is that you don't know, is that something that you hear internally directed at you as well? Do you have a sense
Well,
of that?
Yeah, I guess so. In those angry moments of arguing, it tends to be, you know, a really strong I know story. I got a lot out of what you guys were saying and what was shared before. But it's, in those moments, a lot of I know, but there is a lot for me, like at work, lots and lots and lots of feeling like I don't know. And I've definitely noticed a connection there that I think that comes home with me from work and gets taken out on the kids. Like, you know, not too long ago, there was a day that I had a lot of that coming up. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know at work. And then my oldest didn't seem to me to be focusing on her math homework. And I had this really disproportionate reaction to it.
So essentially, Andrew, if I'm with you, then at work, there's a lot of pressure for you to know, in quotes, right, to perform in some way, to actually have the knowledge to be able to move forward with whatever you're doing.
Yeah, and also with parenting. That's where what you said before.
I got it.
Yeah, like I don't know how to handle this parenting situation. I don't know how to navigate this without, you know, arguing myself and yelling and stuff. So I hadn't thought of that.
And so there's a certain symmetry there that's really helpful, right?
Yeah.
So the you don't know is happening at work, and in the same way it's happening with you as a parent, right?
Yeah.
That essentially the voices of conditioning, right, the voices in the head are telling you that you don't know, right? And it's creating, and there's a sense that you should know with that, right?
Definitely,
right. And you don't know, but you should know, which is totally crazy-making, right? Because how would we know? If we knew, we would probably, right? If we had a way to proceed, then we would. And then that's just keeping us on edge. And like you're saying, that kind of judgment that's directed towards us as a person, right? Judges, it's coming at me. Then it tends to come out in the same way towards others, as I think you've noticed. And so Andrew, with that, what would it be like to let yourself off the hook a little bit and not be required to know in that same way, but just be able to drop into your experience and see what is so?
It would be awesome. I can say with confidence that I'm remembering now a time that I had a lot of that, a lot of really clearly I don't know, and really enjoying that, not finding it a negative thing at all. But just,
that's good. That's perfect, isn't it? Yeah, so when the voices say you don't know, you just agree with them and go, you know, you're right. I actually don't know. And life is about ready to respond here. Let's wait for that to happen. Yeah. So it sounds like a sense of that, right? A sense of really moving to a place of not knowing and being okay with that. Right?
Yeah.
From what you said?
Yeah.
And so that really is that's a great practice to take on in those places. Right? So there's that judgment that is coming at you, right? That's essentially saying, you know, you need to know. You need to, right? And that kind of crazy making self-hate that's coming along with that. And then just moving to that place of, one way to diffuse a lot of energy is just to agree with it. Well, you're right. I don't know.
And yeah.
It's really clear. Yeah. I really don't have a clue. And and then that's the place where the longer we can hang out, the more opportunity there is for life to inform. And it will let us know how to be. Like at work, it might be, oh, I need to ask this person this question.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to get this information from these places and with this. Or with kids, it might be, all right, I need to, you know, kind of see what they're doing. And, you know, maybe there's a little information that I do need to get somewhere, and then I can move towards doing that.
Yeah, there's a lot of experiences of that happening in my life that are coming to mind that are really just glorious to think of practicing more. Yeah.
And at this point, you can see why you would do it.
Mm.
You know, before it's kind of a, well, that's kind of nice, but I don't know why I would. But you can see the, like we talked about with Jennifer, you can begin to see the life that's being taken away from you in that, you know? So it's the voices are interfering with your enjoyment at work and interfering with your relationship with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is big stuff, like you're saying. And then, of course, conditioning, you know, the voices are coming in not only with that judgment, and then it's attempting to pin it on you. So when you get judgmental back at those kids, then it's coming back with fear of, you know, well, you've ruined them, which is not the case, right? It's just that you're not aware of that process of judgment coming in that's causing that separation in that relationship. And so now, once you see that, then it's like, I got it. That's the reason I want to practice. I really do want to be the kindness in my own life. And I want to be that kindness with my kids as well, and as work. That, you know, all of those places I want to just to be the channel for that kindness that life is.
Mm. Yeah.
Very good.
Thanks, Chris.
Deep breath. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are so welcome. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Good night. Thanks for joining us, Andrew. And Chris, another fabulous conversation. And what was dropping in for me is that I don't know place can be interpreted in two different ways. And if it's conditioning yelling at me that I don't know and I should know, that's a suffering place. But if it's I don't know and let's come here to the present and see, totally different experience.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That second one really is, like we talk about, you know, grabbing the mentor and being
yes.
in that relationship with the mentor and really looking together, having company in that place, someone who loves you unconditionally, to be able to start to look to see what really is necessary in that place. So, you know, it's just so the opposite of that crazy making, you know, you should know. And, of course,
right.
we don't. No one's ever actually told us, right, as we talk about.
Yes.
And so that experience with the mentor is just such a relief to have company. It's like it's easy to admit I don't know because this person is going to be there and say, all right, well, let's together. Let's go see what it is we do need to know. And do we really need to know it? And if so, how do we come about that? So, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Great.
Nice.
And Chris, we're going to take a break and hear from our coaching program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
Okay, great.
How we do anything is how we do everything, which is very good news because seeing through one conditioned process reveals it everywhere. Zen Awareness Coaching uses tried and true practices like recording and listening, process mapping, and weekly practice commitments to take the mystery out of ego's bamboozles. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and are tired of getting caught in the same old suffering processes, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email ZenAwarenessCoach@livingcompassion.org. That's ZenAwarenessCoach, all one word, @livingcompassion.org. Getting a coach will support you in making the anything and everything of your life exactly what the heart desires.
Hello, Michael.
There you are. Welcome back, Chris.
Thank you.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Vanessa. Can you hear me?
I missed that. This is
yes.
Okay.
Can you say your name again?
Vanessa, North Carolina.
I hear Vanessa,
and
it sounds like you're a little underwater.
Okay.
Maybe even a little worse than that.
Okay. Is that better?
Oh, my. You are loud and clear. You too, Michael, you're getting?
Okay.
You're loud and clear? Yeah.
For now, yep. For now,
okay.
Good.
All right. We're good.
Okay. Great. Well, let's see. That last conversation, I really think, was for me.
Okay.
I've just been so much looking at that with my kids and being in just, it was just like everything there. I just, it's unbelievable.
We just got to appreciate the synchronicity
being,
on all of that, right?
Yeah, I'm sort of like, wow, I need to go back and just listen to that conversation over and over again. And just being in I don't know and how conditioning takes that, I guess what Michael was just saying, how or I can't remember who, but just that it takes the I don't know and uses it as a weapon instead of it being kind of, you know, in my experience, it can also be just that doorway or that space that's held open.
Mm-hmm.
For life to drop something in, and I have just struggled so much with that. I don't know. You need to know, you know, duality, and to see it as, oh wait, that's actually the place where I want to be, so that I can hear what's next, you know,
yeah.
Or
yeah.
What's now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little arrow pointing to center.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Conditioning is giving us a nice little, in that case, a nice little reminder. It's like, yeah, wow. Thank you for that. You know.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Let's see. I guess one. I don't even know. Let's see, I kind of just put myself in the queue because this morning I really wanted to be in the queue, and then when the phone call started, I was like, I really don't want to be. So here I am, and I guess I was looking at one of the Musings articles that I just read. It was from a year ago this month. It talks, there's a story where the monk comes to see a teacher, and he puts his shoes, you know, outside the door, and the teacher asks,
yeah,
where did you put the umbrella or something like that? And he
exactly
realizes he doesn't know. And so I was doing that in terms like, well, who put the, you know, somebody put the umbrella somewhere. And who is that? And who am I? And I guess the idea to just, because I was looking at, it seems like I go in and out of being really identified with something or someone, and then I can be identified with something else, and that other perspective goes, goes bye-bye, exactly. Either I can't understand it, or I can see it, but I realize it's not real or true or whatever, and I'm completely identified with something else.
Just to make sure I'm tracking.
Yeah, sorry.
So essentially moving from one identity to another, right? So you're in an identity and you have a sense that that's true, and then you're actually disidentifying from that, so moving back from that, but then not moving to center, but moving into another identity.
Right. Right.
Okay.
And just kind of realizing, sorry.
Yeah. Well, and then in that, then, there's, once we are out of one identity into the next, then there isn't a lot of memory about that other perspective I was just in. You know, I'm in, this is whoever I am now, and that's the perspective I'm in, and away we go. Yeah.
Right. And then seeing that there really isn't kind of one, getting to the feeling that there isn't really one person here.
Uh-huh.
Does that seem like one continuous person, that there's, times when I'm this way and times when I see that way and times when this other, I react a different way, or and so just, yeah, so sort of feeling like that, and then also wondering, like, well, who is it that put the umbrella down? Who is it that's living my life? You know, who's going here? Where am I supposed to be?
Yeah. Well, all really good questions to ask, because in the beginning it does. That's one of the ways that we're bamboozled into having the attention with conditioned minds. It's just, well, this is just me here, and I have these kind of opinions and these various things and phases that I go through, but it's just there's just one I here, and that all of those perspectives that you're talking about, aspects of personality, perspectives, they all go by the same name, as we say. They all call themselves I, and if we're not paying close attention, it can just seem like, well, there's just this one continuous personality here. But as you start to look at it, we can go, wow, there's a bunch of folks in here, to the point where the way we talk about it is that everyone in our lives is an aspect of personality. And so the whole world is in there, and there's all of these different perspectives that are there and doing whatever it is they're doing, right? And we can begin to check in to kind of get a sense of the differences between how these various parts, if we can say that for the moment, that how they view the world, right? We can check in and ask them, or see, how they, what do they believe about the world? How does the world look to them? What do they project onto others? All of those things will be different in each of these perspectives, right? And then you come to the Zen story where, putting the shoes and the umbrella as one is going into the hall and recalling where the shoes are but not where the umbrella is. And I think the end of the story is, not being able to recall that, meaning that the attention was somewhere other than with the moment as the umbrella was placed. So in one of these perspectives that you're talking about, right, of some one variety or another, and not being aware of where that got placed because the attention was in a conversation in conditioned mind. And then, I think the last line is, oh, well, another 9 years at the monastery. So, another 9 years of training is in order because of that. So, now, is any of that helpful, Vanessa? Is that along the directions you were looking or going?
Yeah, for sure. At one point, it was driving in the.
And now you're breaking up again, Vanessa.
Oh, let's see. I moved. Is that better?
For now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes,
okay, was that good?
Yeah.
Was the workshop of it, so if everything is just like what you were saying. That
no, there you go again,
like,
Vanessa. I'm missing a number of the words you're saying. Darn.
Is this good? No.
Well, it is when you say that, and then when you get going, it tends to break up a little bit, but
maybe it'll slow down.
Take your best shot at it. See.
Just the workshop of it, that if everybody and everything is out there is sort of what I'm projecting out. Oh, I think now I lost it. But that I can. Use it like that. Use it to explore. Use like, oh, okay, well, so I'm getting this information. So, okay, well, this is that. And then, to not take it, I guess, personally, seriously, not have it mean something about me or even about the world. Does that
exactly. Yeah.
Make
yeah.
sense?
Yeah, yeah. Essentially, you're just exploring the personality in some way, right?
And, right. Right.
Again, because when we're identified, and then we're going to act out of that worldview, right? That's what goes on. There's no awareness that we're acting out of that worldview. And so from what you're describing, we're actually stepping back into a place of awareness, and we're not real, we're just watching to see, who is this? Who is this? What is this thing in front of me? Is it an aspect of personality? Is this an ego eye? What is this? And so really beginning to explore that and getting a sense of that, then, yes, we begin to identify the players, what's going on. And we can see things like it's possible for two aspects of personality to have opposing beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So not only are we not a coherent kind of I, right, but we can actually have opposing beliefs. Actually, quite often, we've got an aspect of personality on each side of a duality. One that wants to live an amazing and exciting life, and another one who wants to stay home and read books, perhaps. And then they each play a role in as we move through our lives. We can see how they're coming and going.
And I guess that's the 10 more years of study that's that's what we're doing. We're just watching it all. We're the awareness or whatever. I don't even know if you could claim that we are the awareness, but we're
exactly. Yeah, we're conscious, compassionate awareness. We're the awareness that sees.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And since we're seeing it, we know we're not it. And that's the
we're
magic.
We're not it. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Which is right. Mm-hmm.
And so all of it really is just practice being in awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're doing that, we're just practicing presence like we always talk about, right? And then in that, we're learning how the conditioned system works. And then that's just aiding and abetting us with staying in awareness.
Yeah, it's, I often sort of get here and think, yes, and then I think, but what's all that going on? I don't know, everything else seems, it's kind of like the first caller, it was like, oh, well, when I get back to my life, then practice sort of falls away and that presence falls away. It's like, how come that feels so real when the only real thing is actually the awareness? And it's just like,
I see what you're saying.
It's an interesting place.
Yeah, it's a very interesting place.
I mean,
it's the nature of what we're up against. It's very subtle. It's very well practiced.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really skilled at creating that sense of an I that is separate from life.
Yeah.
And getting us to believe in that separation. Yeah, yeah. Believe that it's real.
Yeah.
And that's what we're starting to take apart. Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Yep. Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Vanessa.
And Chris, we got about 6 minutes to the hour, so I'm going to bring on one more caller here.
All right, let's do.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Beth.
Hello, Beth.
Pittsburgh.
Hi, Beth.
Yeah, it's feeling rather abundant this week.
Oh, good.
It just in, we spoke earlier in the week, and been kind of processing that quite a bit.
Excellent.
And what I came down with was, if you don't mind, I am projecting that you're a person who has a regular sitting practice.
Yeah, huh? That would be an easy projection to make.
And I will admit that, you know, sitting on my own has not been easy. And I have been, in the last little while, attempting to get back into a sitting practice.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
There are other things that I've been doing that kind of are similar. So I was able to convince myself I didn't need to.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and actually language is important on that, Beth. I doubt if it's you that was convincing. I'll bet it was the voices that were talking you out of sitting.
Yeah, well, I've been kind of really paying attention to them in the last little while. I've been successful with doing 3 10-minute sits a day.
Uh-huh. Wow, okay, good.
And there are some things that I've been doing over the last course of the last couple of years that have been beneficial, like, you know, I don't have a couch. I always sit on the front part of the chair. I don't ever, you know, so my body isn't the problem.
Okay. So the meditation is not about pain. It's
right.
About presence. Yeah.
Right. I've actually been using my kneeler, so I'm not in any discomfort. But the voices, you know, and I just hate it.
Well, they do.
And they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was only, like, yesterday that I realized that it was the voices that really hate it, that I don't really mind.
Uh-huh, that's perfect. That's exactly what's going on, isn't it? The voices are hating it, and then if we're identified with the voices, it feels like we're the ones that are hating it, and we're just a breath away from quitting in that place. But in the place you're describing...
Well, yeah, it's boring.
What's that?
It's boring.
Again, the same thing, right? That the voices are saying it's boring. And if we're identified with that, if we think that's who we are, then it's like, well, that's the reason to stop. But if we're stepped back in that place that you're talking about, where we know that that is, that's what conditioning is doing, right? That it's bored and it's projecting that onto us, and that it's hating it, projecting that onto us. We know it's not us. Then we can just be happy as larks sitting there for whatever time we're sitting, again, we're right in that place of practicing presence.
Yes. I do have a very highly established working meditation. That is an old habit that I can just fall back into, and I can immediately come to a place of deep, you know, breathing, and, you know, not much going on in the head, and, you know, just, you know, delight. But it's
always helpful. Yeah.
Coming back to a sitting practice. I've actually had my sitting meditation set up for the last 10 years, but over time it's just not used as much.
Right.
So,
right.
In the last couple of weeks, so I take my morning supplements, and then I sit.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, and you, go ahead.
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead, Beth.
Yeah, so the routine of it is helping me to get to the cushion. And I'm kind of seeing it as that I'm working myself back up, because it's like if I set the timer for 10 minutes, I'm still on the cushion. If I set it for half an hour, when the timer goes off, I'm at the sink doing dishes when the timer goes off with no awareness of getting up.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that's really that place of, and it sounds like you're onto this, Beth, that you You know, the way we talk about it is to set a time that you know that you can be successful at. So like you say, 10 minutes you know you can be successful at, and that you'll that you can't be defeated by the voices as easily at 10 minutes, and certainly you can be at 30. And so conditioning is going to want to have you set it at 30 because, well, that's, you know, that's just what everybody meditates for 30 minutes. Everybody knows that, right? And so not to pay attention to that, but set that at 10 or wherever that needs to go so that one can sit there for that amount of time and be present as we possibly can be, right? And then each week or something like that, we make another commitment to you know, the following week, okay, let's keep that at 10 minutes and see how that goes, or let's move it to 11.
Yeah, I was at 9 minutes last week.
Uh-huh, yeah, and so we're just gradually moving that up, and we're learning as much in the times that we, let's say that conditioning gets the best of it, that's the best of us, the voices get the best of us, right? So compassionate self-discipline says that we're always learning. If we're in awareness, we're always learning. So if we do find that we don't sit or something, you know, conditioning has managed to sabotage it, if we're seeing what that is, then, again, we're actually beginning to get a sense of how I cause myself to suffer. And that's the name of the game. And so we're just keeping coming back to the commitment to be on the cushion, and we don't really care how long it takes to – we're not looking to get anywhere with any of this, right? We don't care how long it takes to establish a practice, or if we never establish a practice, as long as we're in that place of seeing what the voices are doing, that you know, how the voices stop us will be revealed to us, right? And as soon as we're on,
yeah,
path,
and even just hearing the voices.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because, you know, up until like 2 days ago, I thought I hated meditation.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that as a voice. It was just...
Oh, yeah. That's huge. That's absolutely big. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's like now that I've learned that, the voices aren't saying that anymore. They're doing something else.
Yeah. All right, keep us posted.
Yeah, it's kind of humbling admitting that, but...
Well, it is, yeah. It's humbling to conditioning, right? Conditioning says, well, we should be able to make this work a little easier. I mean, you know, but the voices are, they're just nasty. And they'll do anything to get us to quit practice. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. And, Chris, we've come to the end of the show.
All right. Very good.
So thanks so much for being here. It was a great show. I really appreciated your participation and everyone else also.
All right. Yeah, thank you too, Michael. I've enjoyed being here.
All right. You have a good evening, everyone.
All right. Everybody take care.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.